I'm so glad you're here today, and it's the heat of the summer, a lot of things going on. Sometimes when it's hot outside, it kind of makes you drag. You know what I'm talking about? Our dogs, they drag anyway. Man, they are really dragging right now. Probably some of you probably feel that way as well. You go out and you run in the mornings or you walk in the mornings, because if you wait until it's too late, you know, like 7 a.m., then it's so hot, you just start dragging. It's so easy for us to drag in life, and sometimes we need a little motivation. We need a little encouragement. We need a little push, and that's what I want to do today. That's what I want to accomplish today, is to try to motivate you, encourage you, maybe push you a little bit, but in a nice way, not in a mean way. I want God's word to encourage your heart. I want God's word to really just maybe ignite something inside of you that he wants to do in your life. Sometimes we all need that in life. And many of you today, you may be the exact person that this whole message is for today. Maybe God has something for you specifically that he wants you to hear. We're in our series, Divine Inquiry. All throughout this summer, we're looking at questions that were asked in the New Testament. And we're looking at different questions throughout kind of different books of the Bible each week. And today we're in 2 Corinthians. And so I invite you to open your Bibles there. And you can see the question on the screen: who is equal to such a task? That's an interesting question to ask, because we've all felt at times in our life that we weren't up for the job. Have you ever felt like you weren't up for the job? I don't mean you can't do it because it's so hot outside and you're saying, well, I'll do it on another day. I mean, you feel unqualified, unprepared, not the person for whatever the job may be. We all know that feeling. And that happens sometimes in school, sometimes it happens in careers. Man, if you know, that when couples find out that they're about to become parents for the very first time, immediately is like, I don't know if we can do this, you know, but that baby is headed your way. I mean, it's a feeling that all of us can relate to. We know what it feels like. Well, we also know that there are times when God calls us to do things that he wants us to do. And when that happens, sometimes when God calls us to do something, we think to ourselves, he's got the wrong number. God called the wrong number today. I mean, God, you meant to call the pastor. You meant to call one of the ministers. You meant to call my teacher in my class. God, there's this super spiritual person I know. I think you meant to call them. I mean, they live down the way, so maybe that's what it is. You dialed the wrong number, God. If you can relate to that, if you can relate to that feeling, God has a word for you, a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, a word of motivation. And you may need that in your life today, to be reminded that the word of God wants to encourage you to follow the calling God has for you. You know, sometimes God calls us to serve. In fact, for believers, God calls all believers to serve. But sometimes God calls us to serve him, and we think to ourselves, I can't do that. And so we just kind of disqualify ourselves. We kind of cut ourselves out. And so if you would look at the question that we're asking today, who is equal for such a task? And your answer is, well, definitely not me. I couldn't do that. Then God's word is really for you today. So just let the word of God encourage your heart today. I hope when you walk out, you are a little bit lifted and higher than you were when you came in the doors today. So I want to begin with this phrase, and it's a very simple one, but it's just a reminder that everything you do, God goes before you. God goes before you. Now, we're going to talk about something very important today. We're going to talk about tape, all right? We all know that tape is a very important part of our life. There are lots of different types of tape. There's packing tape and masking tape and scotch tape and two-sided tape and painter's tape and medical tape. I mean, there are lots and lots of types of tape. Today, we're going to talk about three types of tape in particular. Here's the first type of tape we're going to talk about, and it's a great one: ticker tape. We all know what ticker tape is, right? What do you use ticker tape for? To celebrate a victory. Sometimes it's presidents, sometimes it's astronauts, sometimes it's sports teams, but ticker tape is the official tape of victory, all right? When you are at a parade and there's ticker tape, it's not because your team lost and you're celebrating how terrible they are. I mean, it is the tape of victory. when you, as a believer, as a Christ follower, when you allow God to lead you in your life, you get to be part of a ticker tape parade. You get to be part of God's victory. All right, look in verse 12, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says this, "Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." All right. So if there's something Paul understood, it was he understood God's leadership in his life. God led Paul, and he learned to recognize his voice, and God had done a work in Paul's life, and God was always working in Paul's life, and God brought a change to Paul's plans. Paul's headed in one direction. God says, "No, I want you to go this other direction," to the point that God opened up this door in Troas, but he says, "In all of this, I had no peace of mind." Why does he not have peace of mind? Well, he's concerned about the church, and he's also concerned about a buddy of his, a partner in ministry named Titus. But then a change happens between verses 12 and 13, and then you get to verse 14. In verse 14, his mood changes, his words change. He remembers, okay, God, I know you're doing these things. I know we're going to have a reunion with Titus. He probably received some good news about Corinth, maybe the church in Corinth, but Paul just reflects how God is working even in the midst of the situation. Even when I don't have peace of mind, he is working. Now, you and I are very familiar with this, and that is the idea that God may be doing things around us, but sometimes we get kind of depressed and down because we start focusing on our problems. Paul felt that temptation as well to focus on his problems, but Paul takes his eyes off his problems and he begins to focus on God. And he says, "Thanks be to God," there in verse 14. So he quits being down in the mouth about, "Well, I don't know about this and don't know about this and where is Titus right now?" And instead, he has this attitude that's one of saying, "Okay, but in all of this, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to thank God as I follow his leadership." He's got that attitude of thanksgiving. And an attitude of thanksgiving is very important because we get distorted in our view when we lose our thanksgiving. So Paul says, "I'm grateful because God, you are leading, you are working in my life, and look at what God is doing." Go back to verse 14 again. This is a really cool verse. He says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." All right, so have you ever videotaped, that's the phrase we used to use, recorded? Remember we'd say TiVo, but you record on your Betamax or whatever you use the Cowboys game, but you're not going to be able to watch Cowboys game because you got a meeting or something. So you record it, but you know the outcome of the game. You know who wins the game, but you go back to watch it anyway. Well, you're watching the game. You know they win at the end of the game, so they fall behind by 10 points. You're not worried. Everything's good. Somebody fumbles the ball, no big deal. We'll catch up. Don't worry, I have faith, because you know the outcome. You just enjoy watching the game, and you cheer, and you act cool, everything's good. Why? Because in the end, you know that they win. And we should probably pause right now and pray that that would be this season for us as well, but we're not going to do that right now. But the same is for us. We know as believers, as Christ followers, we know who wins at the end of this game of life. And not just wins, but wins decisively. Paul uses an image that is an awesome image. He talks about the triumphal procession in Christ. Now, we read those words and we think, oh, that's a really cool phrase he uses there. It's more than a cool phrase. The people that Paul is writing to would have heard that phrase and they would go, ding, I know exactly what you're talking about. When he said that phrase, that was not just some phrase he just kind of threw out there because he made up some words and it was really cool how they all fell together and sounded neat. Triumphal procession in Christ. No, Paul is using an image, he's using words, he's using a picture that everybody in the Roman Empire understood immediately. If you said a triumph, everybody understood what that was all about. All right, so William Barclay was a theologian, a commentary writer, and a historian. And he describes what a Roman triumph was like, what Paul is describing. So instead of just telling you, I'm going to read what he says about all of this. He says that the highest honor that could be given to a victorious Roman general was a triumph. So to attain the triumph, there are certain conditions had to be met. He had to be the actual commander in the field. The campaigns had to be completely finished, the region pacified, and the victorious troops were brought home. 5,000 of the enemy at least must have fallen in one engagement. A positive extension of territory must have been gained, and not merely a disaster retrieved or an attack repelled. And the victory must have been won over a foreign foe, not in a civil war. In a triumph, the procession, the parade that would happen of the victorious general marched through the streets of the capital came in the following order. First came the state officials in the Senate. Then came the trumpeters. Then were carried the spoils taken from the conquered land. For instance, when Titus conquered Jerusalem, the candlesticks, the golden table of showbread, the golden trumpets were carried through the streets of Rome. Then came pictures of the conquered land and models of conquered citadels and ships. There were followed by a white bull for sacrifice, which would be made. Then there were captive princes, leaders, and generals in chains, shortly to be flung into prison and almost in all probability to be immediately executed. Then came the lictors bearing the rods, followed by musicians with their lyres. Then the priests swinging their censers with the sweet smelling incense burning in them. And after that came the general himself. He stood in a chariot drawn by four horses. He was clad in a purple tunic embroidered with golden palm leaves, and over it a purple toga marked out with golden stars. In his hand he held an ivory scepter with the Roman eagle at the top, and over his head a slave held the crown of Jupiter. After him rode his family, and finally came the army, wearing all their decorations and shouting triumph, their cry of victory. As the procession moved through the streets, all decorated in garland, amid the cheering crowds, it made a tremendous day, which might only happen in a person's lifetime just once. That is the picture that Paul has in mind. Those days, those victorious Roman generals would be brought in. It'd be a huge celebration. To get a triumph was a really big deal. Julius Caesar had three triumphs. He was conquered so many different places. And they would come in and they would just be arraigned in all this majesty and glory. And they would be worshiped that day as a god. They used to call it the parade of glory. And the soldiers marching behind him, celebrating and shouting those spoils of war, those models that we talked about, and then those captives, those slaves would come who they had conquered. When Julius Caesar conquered Gaul, he brought back 100,000 slaves for himself and an additional 100,000 slaves for the empire. Those slaves would have been marched in that procession. Those captives brought in and ultimately led to their deaths. For them, the parade did not mean victory. For them, it meant death. And then there was that aroma, that incense that was burning throughout the procession as the smell filled the streets. That sweet aroma had different meanings for different people. To the victors, it was the smell of victory and life and triumph. To the captives, it was the smell of defeat and judgment and death. So that's why I want you to think about a ticker tape parade. We don't have triumphs today. A ticker tape parade's about as close as we get to all of that. But what Paul is teaching us is that when we let God work in our lives, and we are a Christ follower, and we are seeking to be used by God, the promise of Scripture is that we will be a part of this grand celebration, this grand parade, as we follow our victorious King. That's not just for the major decisions of life that we follow him. It's for the everyday part of life, in your work, in your school, out in your home, wherever you may be, all the ways you live your life. You're striving for obedience in your life, surrendering yourself to him, submitting to him to say, God, I want to follow you. I want to go where you are leading me. I want to live out my faith in all aspects of my life. And I don't want to just hear about things at church and forget about it, but I want to live out my faith. So God, I'm listening for you. I'm listening for your voice. You see, when we do that, what happens is that victory that Paul is talking about is guaranteed. On your own, victory is not guaranteed. But when you seek to allow the Lord to lead you, you can know that victory is in your life. It doesn't mean that everything works out the way that you want it to work out, because not everything in life always works out the way we want it, but God has a plan. And if you will open your heart up to God, God will do great things in and through you. God goes before you. Here's the second thing. God works through you. God works through you. So instead of ticker tape, this type of tape I want you to think about is duct tape. Aren't you grateful for duct tape? It's fixed so many things. Has there ever been more important invention in the world than duct tape? I mean, look at this right here. I'm about to get on a plane. That makes me a little nervous. But, you know, duct tape will do amazing things. It can fix your clothes. It can fix things at your house, fix your car, your wing. I mean, it fixes everything. So why do I mention duct tape here? All right. Duct tape, we know, is useful in so many different areas of life. We can do amazing things with duct tape. It's one of God's gifts to humanity, okay? But we know that about duct tape, and yet people ask, could God really use me? Could God do anything in my life? Many people wonder, does God really have something he wants to do in my life? Is God willing to take a person like me and do something significant through my life? Many people will already rule God out on it. They'll say, well, I'm not a teacher, so God couldn't use me. I don't have the ability to speak in front of people, so God couldn't use me. I don't have a lot of money, so God couldn't use me. I don't have this, I don't have that. God could not use me. So we decide in our minds whether or not God could or could not use us. Friends, don't believe that lie. The devil wants you to believe that you are not good enough. You don't have what it takes to be used by God. That's just because he's trying to knock you out of the game, trying to put you out of commission. He doesn't want you serving God anywhere. But if you will allow God to work in your life, if you'll open up your heart in life and you say, God, I want to follow your voice. I want to follow your word. I want to follow your leadership. God is going to use you. Look again at verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? There's our question. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. All right, so Paul speaks boldly about how God had used him, and he said that God has done something in my life. He's allowed me to be used by him that has an impact on people around me. Here's what it is. Did you know that God has made you into a fragrance dispenser? You are a fragrance dispenser. Do you have those in your home, by the way? We have those kind that you plug into the wall. They're like electric or whatever, and you plug them into the wall. Would y'all please not tell my wife? I hate those things, all right? Here's why. You're walking in your house, and all of a sudden, you are punched in the face by lavender. You know, nobody needs that. Now, you only have to move 5 feet away, and then you can't smell it anymore. But if you get too close to it, it will knock you down. That's why I'm not crazy about those things. Like him or not, every one of us is a fragrance dispenser. It's not roses or spring meadow that you dispense. It is the fragrance of the knowledge of him, the Bible says. We are the aroma. Verse 15 says, for we are in Christ, or we are to God, the aroma of Christ. So just like incense was part of that Roman triumph, that parade, that procession, we are the incense of God. And some people will encounter you and they will smell that in your life, and others will view that, and they'll view it as life, others will view it as death. In other words, your life is gonna be a witness for Christ, and to some, that witness is gonna be a sweet aroma, to others, it'll be the smell of death. So let me say this. I was walking around earlier, and you guys smell great, all right? Everybody smells great in here. Our life as Christ followers is to smell great, in other words. We're to be a witness to others, a blessing to others. The task of all believers is to be a testimony for Christ. And people react differently to smells. You may love the smell of a certain food and your spouse may despise that smell. You may love the smell of a freshly cut lawn and for somebody else it might mean allergies. The scent of flowers may remind you of a wedding, while others it may remind of a funeral. As followers of Christ, there are gonna be people who love what you're doing, love what God's doing in your life, and there are gonna be others that just feel contempt toward you because of your faith. To some, we're the fragrance of life, to others, the smell of death. But you are a witness for Christ, and God uses you as that witness if you will allow him and say, God, I want you to work through me. Now, many people think to themselves, well, I could never do that. Paul even asked the question, who is equal to such a task? I mean, it's a sobering question. Who is equal to such a task, carrying the message of the gospel to people that we encounter? We have the same gospel that goes out, but just different responses by different people. So the task can be overwhelming, but that's why we have to remember what he's saying here. God works through you. And when God works through you, you become more than able. You may think to yourself, I could never do this, but if you will let God work in and through your life, not placing trust in yourself, but saying, God, I need you to do something through my life. God, I need you to help me in the midst of my situation at work. God, I need you to work through me in my home. When you ask God to work through you, God begins to do amazing things. Paul closes out chapter 2 and starts chapter 3 with a testimony about how God used him. He says, God used me in your lives, but I don't get credit. In verse 3, he talks about that you're the letter and you're the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God, Paul says, is the one who worked through us. And you, he tells that church, you are living testimonies of that. God did a great work through Paul. And friend, God can do a great work through your life as well. He can do it in your office, in your home, in your neighborhood, out on the sports field, in your school. You have the opportunity to be the aroma, the witness for Christ, and to say, God, would you use me to write your word on other people's hearts? Would you use me to be that letter on other people's lives? So how do you smell? I mean, how are you doing with that? If you're not a Christ follower, then hey, Paul's not really talking directly to you in this passage. It would be his desire that you give your life to Christ. But if you are a Christ follower, are you following the way that allows God to use you? We said duct tape is awesome because you can use it on everything. Man, God can do amazing things through your life. Just don't say no. Don't tell God no. Now here's the third thing, and I think this is important. Because God not only works through you, God strengthens within you. He strengthens within you. Here's our example. It's reinforced tape. You know what reinforced tape is? It's that tape that's got like twine running through it. Can't tear it with your hands. Got to cut it with scissors. Back in the day, that's what we used to seal up boxes with and things like that. It makes regular tape super strong tape. Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, hey, guess what? God has used me as reinforced tape. He has done a work in my life. Look in verse 4. He says, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Look, if Paul were here today, Paul could stand up in front of all of us and say, hey, I am pretty smart. You know why he could say that? Because he was pretty smart. Paul could say, you know, I'm pretty capable. And he could say that because he was capable. He could say, I'm pretty highly educated because he was extremely highly educated. His teacher, his main teacher, was one of the foremost teachers in the ancient world. He had traveled. He had encountered great people. I mean, Paul had one of the most amazing minds of anyone in world history. He was capable. Paul also knew how to minister to people. He understood all of that. But Paul was wise enough to know that it's not about a machine. It's not about a system. It's about God doing the work through a person. Paul would be the very first to tell you, I may have all this background, all this training, all this education, all this experience, but if the Spirit of God doesn't work through me, I don't have much to offer. He'd be the first to tell us that. That's why he says our competence comes from God. If you will follow God, it doesn't matter if you're the smartest person in the room or you're on the other end of that scale. If you will follow God and ask the Holy Spirit to work through your life, God will do things through your life that you never would believe you could do on your own. But it's the Holy Spirit working. I mean, we believe that God can do great things. We all know that God can do miracles and all that. We pray to God because God can do great things. And yet so many people believe God could never do that in my life or through my life. And yet, friend, the Spirit of God, when we receive Christ as Savior, comes to live inside of us, and he wants to work through us. Just like that twine goes through that tape to reinforce it, the Spirit of God wants to work through your life to reinforce who you are and how God wants to use you. How many people talk themselves out of the blessing that God wants to give them because they've decided God's going to have to work a miracle through somebody else because he couldn't do it through me? Somebody, he's going to have to find somebody that's got more skills or more Bible training, can answer all the Bible questions. Maybe they have more money or they've got more time or more talents. Just, it's going to have to be somebody else. If you think that, you're missing the point. God is not measuring by the standards that the world measures. He's looking for people that he can work in their life and through their life. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to strengthen those whose hearts are fully his. If you will fully give your heart to God, God will equip you. God will empower you. He will thread through your life, through your witness, through your voice, through your words. He will reinforce you in ways you never imagined. You say, well, that's impossible. Friend, with God, all things are possible. The question is, are you going to be open? Instead of saying, God, you can never do this to me, why don't we say, God, would you do something through me? God, would you do something in me? God, would you do something in my life and through my life that would allow me in my home, in my work, in my church, in my community, among my friends, God, would you reinforce things in my life? Would you empower me to the task? And God, would you do things that only you can do through my life? And God, if you choose to do that, at the end of the day, I will not say, look what I did. I will say, to God be the glory for the great things he has done in my life and through my life. Friend, if you have talked yourself out of doing something, let God's word remind you that he uses people who are willing. There are some of you in the room today that God wants to use in our kids' ministry. He wants to use you to teach boys and girls. He wants you to teach preschoolers. He wants to use you. There are some of you in the room today that God wants to use in our student ministry to encourage and help teenagers today. There are some of you that God wants to use through a mission trip. God may be sending some of you to go around the world on a mission trip to some of the places that we go to share the gospel with people. It may be that God wants some of you to go across the city, to go to one of our senior adult centers that's around here, where you have men and women who are living in those retirement communities and assisted living places. And by age, they're close to the end. And they don't know Christ as Savior. And if they died today, they'd spend eternity in hell. It may very well be that God wants some of you to be involved in our ministries in a church, to go to those places and share the gospel with people that are sitting on the brink. Could it be that God is calling some of you to go? I think he's calling a lot of us to go. I think he's calling a lot of us to be open, to be ready, to be used, because there are homes in our neighbor, in our community. There are businesses here in North Texas. There's a lot of schools that need somebody that would just say, God, my heart is open. I don't have much to offer. I don't bring much to the table, but God, my heart is open. And if you will choose to use me, I'm willing to be duct tape, but you're going to have to reinforce me. And God, anything that happens for your good, for the good of someone else, God, we'll just add that to the reason we celebrate in that ticker tape parade. But God, would you use me? I want to ask you to bow your head, if you would, right there where you are. If you've come here today and you've never received Christ as Savior, friend, I want you to give your heart to Christ today. I want you to recognize that Jesus died on the cross for you, paid the price for your sins, and I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus Christ today. In just a moment, we will sing a closing song, and when we do, after we finish, I want to invite you to go right across the hallway out here to this glassed-in room called the Connect Room. The Connect Room is where we have ministers waiting to talk to you about receiving Christ as Savior, and I want you to go give your heart to Christ today. If you've come here today and you already know Christ as Savior, but God is speaking to you about joining a church, and maybe he's calling you to join our church, you can go to the Connect Room and join the church. Maybe God is speaking to you today about being baptized. We're going to be baptizing on several of the Sundays that are coming up. And maybe God is speaking to you. You know you need to make that decision to be baptized. I want to invite you to go to our Connect Room. Let us talk to you about that. Maybe you're here today, you don't know what you need. You just know you need to talk to somebody because you got a lot of things going on in your heart. You feel something stirring inside of you. That's the Spirit of God at work, drawing you. We've got ministers waiting there, ready to talk to you today. But for some of you here today, God may be calling some of you into ministry. He may be calling you full-time into ministry to serve him as a minister, as a pastor. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. We want to talk to you about that. We want to pray with you in that decision. Such an important decision to make. If God is calling you, he's leading you, say yes to him today. Now, there may be some of you, though, that, man, God is speaking to you about serving, getting involved, getting plugged in. Some way, somehow, God's wanting to use you. Whatever God is saying to you and to your heart, I don't know what that is, but if we have ears to hear, God will speak to us. Will you say yes to his voice and his calling on your life? God can do amazing things through your life. Will you be willing to say yes? Will you be willing to say, God, I'm open? Will you be willing to say, God, work in me according to your will? Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? God, I thank you for these fine people who have come here today. Thank you for your word and how your word teaches us. Lord, I pray today people would give their heart to Christ. They would receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray today people would join the church. And people would decide to be baptized. Lord, I pray that you would call people to ministry. Call people to missions, that people would follow that calling that you've placed on their heart. And God, I pray for all of us that we would all have a heart that is open and saying, God, use me. God, speak to me. God, lead me. God, I want to be a part of your work and your kingdom. So God, we know that you will strengthen us. We know that you will empower us, that you will use us. But Lord, not with closed hearts, but open hearts and open hands and open lives. And so, Lord, we open all that we are to you, and we ask that you, oh God, would do a work in and through our life today. So, God, would you take this time, would you take these moments and draw people to that connect room to make decisions that honor you. So, Lord, receive the praise and worship of your people and the response of our heart to say yes to you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We hope you had a wonderful experience. If our church family can help your family in any way, please let us know. We'd love to see you on a Sunday morning here at The Fields. God bless you.